If you stop thinking of film as art, the seventh art, in fact, which the majority of Americans don't anyway, and think of it for a second as a product, Sundance didn't invent the independent film, but it sure did find a way to make it a business. At a time when the new administration wants to end funding to art series across the country, ballet, opera, symphony, dance, that are already foundering, slicing and dicing ticket subscriptions, pick any three, and packaging tea and sympathy, by any measure, Sundance is the American gold standard for the partnership of a not-for-profit public platform and private venture capital. It ain't just that careers continue to be minted here. Steven Soderbergh's emergence here in 89 got things rolling soon thereafter for Kevin Smith, David O. Russell, Melissa Leo, Jennifer Lawrence, Errol Morris, Kenny Lonergan, producer Christine Vachon, and for better or worse, Quentin Tarantino. Sundance became an economic jolt. Every kid in America wanted to become an indie film director. That preceded sports agents, by the way. Universities smelling revenues amped up film studies. Theaters started serving espresso with their popcorn. And Park City's real estate and tour economy exploded. As an American enterprise, Sundance, originally meant to be subsidized by Redford's nearby ski resort, mints money from sponsors and tickets and pass sales, and in the process has reshaped American filmmaking, its original mission. And that filmmaking has given alternative voice to corporate culture in America for 33 years. The way the Cannes Film Festival rebuilt the Riviera after World War II, Sundance, since the late 80s when you could still ski with Bob and see movies, Sundance built Park City as a glam destination. Now it's a cram destination. Too many poseurs paying too much money for bragging rights back home. The skies laid down blankets of snow this year, making a gray, sloppy hash out of unordinary people. A woman in pink suede high-heeled boots and black Spanx. A guy in orange shorts and Jesus sandals with a bejeweled ponytail attached at a 90-degree angle to the side of his head. An about-to-be Medicare-ready distributor in a black T-shirt overhanging his substantial belly, hanging over his jeans and scuffed high tops. What were those fashion victims thinking? Like a lot of things these days, we'll never know. There was even a cyber attack on the Sundance box office that shut down operations for a day. Was it the Russians or the disgruntled local Trump supporters who hate the condescending art crowd that buys $4 bottles of smart water? There were 100 new U.S. and 24 foreign films here this year to think about, not counting the TV programming, shorts, and all manner of digital whatnot. Volunteers in yellow and black jackets act like bees with megaphones. People line up in huge pens as the head yellow jacket metronomes the pace and the rules. At the Mark Theater, attached to the Park City Health Club, you wonder if you heard them say, "You will march through the showers first on your way to your hot ticket. Do not be alarmed." Not fair, I know, but a dark fantasy nonetheless, as thousands of the forlorn wait to see films. On the whole, I'd say I've liked the film selection better this year than last, the year of the scuttled, rebellious Birth of a Nation and the melodramatic Manchester by the Sea now slouching its way toward the Oscars next month. 2017 was said to be curated to an environmental theme. That may be a marketing hook, but opening night was an inconvenient sequel as Al Gore returned in the flesh, 10 years after his first film splashed down. The sequel takes the eco-pulse and finds it faster and hotter. Here's what Al Gore had to say.
The directors did such a great job in sort of telling that part of the story. We're in a real battle here. And it's a challenge for all of us to really comprehend how high the stakes are. I mean, it's beyond any scale that we're used to thinking about. Don't worry, I'm not going to go too far down that road, but really, we have to really step back, take a deep breath, and say that this is not a political issue. It is a It's a moral issue. It's an ethical issue. It's a spiritual issue. Who are
Over
we?
On the fiction side we? Of things, where I spent all of my time this year in defiance of accepted wisdom, it's been a year of high anxiety over the way forward for the millennials and their younger sibs. Who wins the grand prize here this weekend may not matter. There are films that you'll want to see over the next year thanks to Sundance's Film Market. Write these titles down by going to this review on WBGO.org. Dee Reese's Mudbound, set during and just post-World War II, with breakout performances by Garrett Hedlund and Jason Clarke as white and black sons across the tracks of a Mississippi town, who find the war and the army have changed them at tragic cost for anticipating a biracial America. Jeremy Jasper's Patty Cakes, which prowls the streets of Newark to put together North Jersey's greatest long-shot rap group, PB&J, again, with breakout performances by Daniel McDonald as the 200-pound-plus Batty Dombrowski, Bridget Everett as her mom, Siddharth Dhananjay as her Pakistani sideman and producer, Mamadou Athey as her mysterious black hermit composer and lover, and Raging Bull's Kathy Moriarty as grandma to the future stars. Just a high-energy knockout. Princeton grad Maggie Betts' debut film, Novitiate, is an about-to-be nun story circa 1962 and Vatican II, with emerging star Margaret Qualley as a postulant and the always superb Melissa Leo as Mother Superior of the convent come to grief over articles of faith and intimacy. The Big Sick, produced by Judd Apatow and directed by Michael Showalter, is this year's rom-com of the year. It stars Silicon Valley's Kumail Nanjiani, who sidesteps his packy parents' parade of arranged marriage candidates to nurse Zoe Kazan through a coma and win over her parents, Ray Romano and Holly Hunter. Maybe Landline, too, if you like the team of comedian Jenny Slate and director Gillian Robespierre's previous 2014 film about female commitment issues, Obvious Child. This one is set in 1995 and is a pre-cell phone and floppy disk era comedy of New York mating manners, with Jay Duplass, John Turturro, and Edie Falco. Think of it as if Woody Allen had a granddaughter and had something to say to a 40-square-block of Manhattan millennials. I didn't much care for Luca Guadagnino's Call Me By Your Name, based on an Andre Osimhen's novel adapted by the late James Ivory and set in Lombardy. The film was loved here for its love story, which I think took a back seat to the real gay male fantasy at work in the background, that one's parents know all and bless all, that they give their benediction. I like that. I like the sensational manor house and the always on duty cook who came with it. But this is a gay Hallmark card poseur of a film. Give me Eliza Hittman's Beach Rats instead. It's set in Brooklyn, in which Harris Dickinson as Frankie hangs out Marty style with his wife beater t-shirt crew, smoking weed at Coney Island and hitting inside the park home runs with, at bottom, nice borough girls who dress like pole dancers. All good in the hood until Frankie starts to grapple with his irrepressible homosexual urges that lead him to a gay hookup website without the tools to grow instead of lash out. Just a first-rate little indie film made with on-the-cheap integrity of place and purpose, the real hallmark of Sundance from days gone by. And I'm Harlan Jacobson in Park City, Utah.